The Pentagon did not get everything it wanted out of the two-year spending deal the White House and lawmakers reached a couple of weeks back. But for now, defense budget officials are pretty pleased that they at least know what they're going to be allowed to spend for the next 2 years. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
The bipartisan budget agreement relieved DOD from the prospect of another sudden cut in its spending plans, partially by raising the mandatory caps in the Budget Control Act, and partially by moving some ongoing defense expenses to the government's overseas contingency operations accounts. And even though DOD officials have previously described their budget proposals as the lower ragged edge of what the department would need to execute the current defense strategy at a level of acceptable risk, Mike McCord, the Defense Department's comptroller, says the final agreement was a pleasant surprise. Even though DOD's getting less money than it requested, it at least knows what Congress is willing to spend over the next 2 years, in contrast to almost a decade of continuing resolutions, last-minute budget deals, and occasional government shutdowns.
Having some certainty is huge for us. I think most of us were surprised that we got the answer early in November as opposed to late November or early December. We still have some time to react and come to some rational conclusions for 17. So that was a huge benefit for us and a surprise for us. I have been told by people I was talking to probably a week before the deal was concluded that there was no way we'd get a two-year deal, that there was no way we'd get a deal on the debt ceiling bill. I was hearing a lot of negative talk right up until the end. There's so much going on in the world, and having a little bit of certainty on the top line is at least one less thing to figure out. So we are able to, I think, have a kind of the process we should have compared to the whole span I've lived with for 7 years now. This is a relatively good situation compared to some of the other ones we've had.
For 2016, the fiscal year that's already started, the spending agreement calls for $548 billion in national defense spending, plus another $59 billion in overseas contingency operations funds. Taken together, that's about $5 billion less than the Obama administration requested. Congress's appropriations committees plan to make decisions before December 11th on exactly how those funds will be apportioned. But McCord says that should still leave enough time for the Pentagon to make rational decisions in how to reprioritize spending, as opposed to in recent years when spending levels were readjusted long after a fiscal year had begun.
The appropriators are probably not going to finish much before that December 11th deadline. That's pretty late for us to make any last-minute adjustments, but still it's pretty late. It's not the same as absolutely too late. And even if it is, I mean, that's been a fact of life for a number of years. That wouldn't be anything new to us.
For 2017, the spending agreement would cut the administration's previous defense plans by about $10 billion. But since the accord was reached long before the executive branch is due to submit a budget proposal for that year, McCord says the larger cut is manageable. He says DOD's 2017 proposal, usually expected in February, will be on time and will fall within the terms of the two-year agreement. He also forecasted that the next budget proposal will contain very few new initiatives, other than the ones Defense Secretary Ash Carter has already started to outline during his first months on the job, including the Force of the Future initiative to reform DOD's personnel system and the department's move to break down barriers with Silicon Valley.
Probably the new priorities that we'll be highlighting to a large extent will be the Secretary's priorities that he's already kind of been enunciating. Then you have what I would call kind of the threat-driven or event-driven, it's just of ISIL and then Russia. So I think those would be the things that I would look for the most. I don't know that there'll be a raft of new programs. I don't think that's probably very likely. But
and after several years of seeing its own cost-cutting proposals being shot down by Congress, the Pentagon may regroup before asking yet again for more base closures, the retirement of weapon systems such as the A-10, and reforms to the TRICARE health system. That's mainly because, by coincidence, most of the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have retired since last year's budget proposal, and new members have taken their place.
We kind of went through these issues, whether it's basic allowance for housing, or this, how big should the Army be, or JSF, and they've been through it once or twice or even a third time, and now we just have new people. I'm not predicting necessarily that they'll come to wildly different conclusions than their predecessors, just that either as a group of different individuals or certainly as a collective body, it's not a given that their judgment or their comfort zone will be exactly the same on how to balance risk between, say, on having a pay raise that's below ECI versus saying I don't want to do that and I'm willing to have a somewhat smaller force to pay for that. There could be some different judgments. maybe some strong views from new players that we did not fully understand that maybe differed because these were not the Chiefs, by and large, when the services built their palm say.
While the current budget deal provides certainty on top-line defense funding levels for the remainder of President Obama's term, it also muddies the waters for the years beyond that. For the first time, budget negotiators decided to use OCO funds as a two-year workaround to the budget caps which won't expire until 2021. Those accounts are supposed to be used to fund near-term military operations and supporting activities by the State Department and other federal agencies. But since 2017 is still a long ways away, the Pentagon could still decide it needs billions of dollars more in those accounts, depending on the magnitude and intensity of the wars it's fighting at that time.
I see it as a jump ball when the new president arrives in the next Congress in 2 years, right, for debt ceiling and for spending. And I don't anticipate being here to be the one working this issue. So, you know, we're going to probably focus more on just trying to make this thing work. We do have a stewardship responsibility to try and think through where this leaves us, and are we more at risk because of this deal than we otherwise would have been? Possibly so. In terms of what if someone comes in and says we're not doing OCO anymore? OCO is going to zero, as far as I'm concerned. If that's a new president's position or something, that would be pretty jarring for us. And that's part of why I think conversations have been so. So lively between us and OMB over the last year and a half is especially, I would say, they've been pushing us more than we've been pushing to try and find some way to wind out of OCO, but the caps have made that so hard. So I think that we're unfortunately going to have that problem with us and greeting the next administration.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.